こんにちは。
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 今日は特別編ということでゲストにお越しいただいています。文字起こしのテキストも同時にリリースしているのでチェックしてみてください。DMM VR ラボ主任研究員兼東京大学バーチャルリアリティ教育研究センター共同研究員の小川奈美さんです。イェイ。
ようこそ。
よろしくお願いします。
ようこそようこそ。今まで来てくださったゲストの中で一番画質がいい。めちゃくちゃクリアに見えてるんですけど、私たちからは。VR の研究をされているんですよね。
そうですね。VR です。
なんか軽く、DMM VR ラボの、サイトを拝見したときに、バーチャル空間での自己アバターの表現について研究されているというのを見たんですけど、具体的にどういうことか教えていただけますか？
Okay. Thank you for taking an interest in my research. So, broadly speaking, my research lies at the intersection of VR and psychology. In my research, I use VR headsets, but it's as a tool for investigating psychological or sometimes philosophical questions of what is the self and why we feel self as self. So I'm a VR researcher, but I'm not a VR researcher on the engineering side, like developing novel hardware or algorithms for VR. Mm. And I'm more on the psychological side. Specifically, I've been specializing in avatar embodiment research. Avatars basically refer to virtual entities that represent users in a virtual world. When you're immersed in VR, usually you cannot see your own bodies in a virtual world, but instead you'll see your virtual body moving as you move, exactly where it should be. So although how the avatar is represented in the virtual world varies a lot in terms of its appearance and the degrees of freedom of avatar movement, you'll feel as if the avatar was your own body.
Mm.
So in that sense, the avatar becomes your alter body in the virtual world. Mm. I think most of you may have already experienced it, but this experience is called avatar embodiment. So I've been interested in how avatar embodiment affects our minds and behaviors, and also in how far we can embody an avatar that is different from our own body.
その、例えば自分の容姿とかけ離れた、例えば手だけだとしても、自分のものとどこまでかけ離れたら違和感があるかとか、どこまでだったら結構すんなり受け入れられるかみたいなこともってことですか？
そうですね。そういう研究をやってて、で VR だと特に見た目に関しては割と寛容というか、なんか例えば動物の手みたいに出しても、それが自分の動きと一致してる限りは割と自分の体だって感じるっていうふうにことが分かっていて。逆にその動きが全然自分の動きと違ってたりすると、なんかどれだけ自分の見た目に似てても、あまり自分の体だとは思わないというふうに言われてます。
Mm.
So we identify with it if we feel like we're in control of it.
Yeah.
How did you get interested in VR and specifically the avatar phenomenon?
As for my interest towards virtual reality, I don't really remember it, but I think the first time I heard or I became conscious of the term virtual reality was when I saw an article saying that Facebook was acquiring Oculus and VR is gonna be super hot or something like that. It was around 2014. Or something. And I was an undergraduate student in the psychological department. And also I was wondering about the future career path at that time. And then I got curious about VR. And I remember thinking something like, okay, VR sounds like sort of the flip side of psychology because it's a kind of perceptual illusion. So at that time, I thought like my psychological knowledge would be helpful in VR fields and also diving into the field of cutting edge technology sounded cool. So also I didn't have any skills on engineering at that time. I decided to change my major into VR. So I looked for a laboratory that was doing research on VR, and I found one that perfectly matched my interest and ended up belonging to the lab for the next 5 years in graduate school. And as for my interest towards avatar and body, I read a book called Nononaka no Yure. I don't know how it's called in English, but it's about the how humans feel the sense of body ownership over body, and the sense of body ownership is similar to embodiment, but the sense of self-attribution of our body. It's written by Shinke Kagakusha, not a VR researcher, but it's
neurologist.
Yeah. He uses a mirror box. It's kind of similar to the recent VR system, but use a mirror box. It's how can I say?
Is it the phantom limb experiment?
Yeah, that's it.
The rubber hand?
Yeah, similar to rubber hand illusion. So, that's why I became interested in the sense of body or how human recognize the bodily self.
How did you become interested in psychology, to go one step back?
Yeah, since childhood, I think I've been interested in abstract things like what happens to us when we die or like that. And so I was more interested in myself than in something far away from me, like the universe. So among all my oldest memory as far as I remember that illustrates my curiosity about the human mind is that when I was in elementary school, I watched a TV show which introduced the sweaty T-shirt study. It's男性の被験者に運動とかをさせて、すごい汗をかかせてしてます。
あ、見たことあるよ。
その T シャツを集めて、今度は女性の被験者を呼んで、その顔が見えない状態で匂いだけ嗅がせると、その T シャツの匂いだけで魅力度を判定させると、その、なんかの遺伝子タイプが遠い人の匂いを魅力的に感じるみたいな実験を、が見て、で当時それにすごい衝撃を受けたのをよく覚えてて、でなんか looking back now I think that at that time I was shocked that conscious decision making was influenced by unconscious information like genetic patterns, but at that time I became interested in genetics rather than psychology. What I was really curious about was more of a subjective judgment based on sensory information and whether or not it was due to genetic information. It's not important to me, but I didn't realize that at that time that's what I'm interested in was psychology. And then I spent some time reading about genes. And so actually it took me a long time until I realized that psychology was the study that was closest to my interest, even though I was interested in human minds. Because for a long time, I thought that psychology was like 血液型占いの人かなんか something like that. So sometimes I try reading some philosophy books because my question was more like philosophical, I thought. But I didn't find them very convincing. Then I enrolled at the university in a course that was more of biology because I was interested in genetics at that time. So, but then I studied some liberal arts program at the university. Finally, I realized for the first time that what I wanted to learn was psychology.
Yeah. 長い道のりだった。
ずっとなんかうさんくさいイメージってちょっとないですか？心理学って。日本だけなのか。
なんか特に、あの、ま、ちょっとあの、年齢がわからないのでなんですけど、私の世代、今私34で、あの、私の世代ぐらいの時ってテレビで結構なんか、催眠とか、なんか、心理学って言ってんだけど、それこそそういう血液型占いじゃないけど、なんか、そういうのに結構フォーカスしたテレビ番組とか本とかが結構あって、確かに私も若い時っていうか子供の時そういうイメージがすごいありました。なんか怪しいイメージっていうか。
Well, I think psychology is maybe one of the less, reliable domains of science. And I think it's also the most mysterious and probably difficult area of science too. 'Cause there is a lot we don't know about consciousness in particular, right? Are there certain things that you are certain or are true about consciousness? Like what can we say about consciousness, like definitively with confidence?
It's really a tough question. Yeah, because psychology treats subjective feelings or all about subjective things. But science is objective. So that's the very difficult part.
なんかあの、私出産前まで結構 VR 試しに行ったりとかいろいろしてたんですけど、ここ数年も多分完全に置いていかれてて、その VR 業界全体というか VR が今どこに向かってるみたいな、その業界の動向的にはどういう感じなんですか？
なんか、そこまで、業界側の人間ではないので、あんまり詳しいわけではないんですけど、でも、とにかく HMD とかはどんどん軽く、解像度も高くなってディレイも減って体験としてはすごく良くなってるというか、多分本当この3年とかでかなり体験としては変わってきてると思います。昔のだとやっぱかなりなんか作りが荒いというか、やっぱプロトタイプって感じだったと思うんですけど、今のはそのクエスト2とかも出てるやつは本当になんかちゃんとしたゲームというか、まあ。
I was watching a video earlier today of VR technology in 1991. And it was on a show called Prime Time or something. It was just a TV show. They were showing the cutting edge VR technology in 1991. And this guy's wearing this humongous headset. It's like going all the way around his head, but it is still like goggles, and the screen is small, but it's the same similar concept to now, just much bulkier, and the image quality is much worse. And within about 15 seconds he's like, I gotta take it off, I'm feeling sick. You know, so they had really bad motion sickness problems. But it's interesting that at the time they thought that VR was going to be revolutionary and a breakthrough like around 1995 or around 2000. And it took much longer than a lot of the experts thought it would. Do you know why that is exactly? Or is it just the computer processing limits? Or I guess this is more an engineering question, maybe.
Yeah. I think that's a matter of engineering side. The concept was already completed in late 90s or something, but just the computational resources were less than today. Mm. So I think essentially nothing has changed, I think.
Conceptually?
Yes.
Hmm. その自己アバターの話に戻すと、その心理学とニューロサイエンスがちゃんこしてるみたいな感じですかね。
そうですね。神経科学とかもそうだし、まあなんかそのセンスオブボリオナシップみたいなコンセプトとかは哲学の人が提唱したものだったりしてて、すごくインターディスプリナリ
ー。なんかその自己アバターの限界っていうか、例えばそのなんだろう、まあ普通に現実世界でじゃあ手袋したら急に自分の手を認識できなくなるとかはないじゃないですか。それと一緒でこう、じゃあ猫の手でも大丈夫とか、その限界ってどこにあるんですかね。例えばその細すぎるとダメみたいなのもなさそうだけど、なんかこうこうだともう認識できなくなるみたいなのが特にないんですかね。
そのやっぱり見た目に関してはかなりどこまでもいけるというか、
うん、
まあでも極論言うとどっかにはあるとは思うんですけど、でもそれが、うん、その動きがマッチしてるって感じられる限りは本当に何でも割とそのカーソルみたいな手になったりとか、うん、あと VR だとよく手の代わりにコントローラーがこう一緒に動いたりすると思うんですけど、うん、なんかそれでも割と体だと思えてるみたいな感じで言いますね、うん、
そっか、意外と。でもまあそうですよね、自分が現実世界でもそんなすぐ認識できなくなったら困りますもんね多分。
そう、でも逆に言うとなんかそんなにプラスチックだと困るんじゃないかって思いませんか、うん、すぐ猫になれちゃったら。
でもなんかなんだろう、毛皮の手袋した時にもう自分の手認識できなくなっちゃうと困っちゃうなとか、うん、そう考えると猫の手とか犬の手でもいけるのはまあメイクセンスするかなとか、
ね、確かに
そっか。
It seems to work with scale too, so you can make yourself really smallAnd it still feels natural.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make yourself, I mean, maybe not natural, but it feels like that's where you are.
Yeah.
And, right, and you can make yourself really big. And it, you kind of, it doesn't really take any time for it to feel like you're embodied in that.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that surprising to you or...I think it's surprising to people how easily we're tricked. You know, so when I got VR, I had my mother try it and she puts it on and she just completely forgot about the living room that she's in. And she's just like, wow, it's so amazing. You know, it's like we're just with the visuals.
Yeah.
And...maybe a little bit of sound, but it seems like it's not necessary. But just by showing us, you know, a 3D image, we kind of, our brain just thinks that we're there. And I think that's kind of surprising.
Yeah, kind of surprising. But that's the way we recognize the real world. It's basically the same.
Hmm.そのいかにどうすればみんながすんなり騙されてくれるかっていうのはあまり課題じゃないってことですもんね。言い換えればその自己アバターに関してはこう形状はあんまりどこ 結構自由に行けるわけだから、
うん、そうですね、形状に関してはそうなんですけど、例えばそのどうやったら動きが一致してると感じるかって、例えばそれが猫の手になったら、その、まあ、全体的な動きを一致させるのは簡単なんですけど、例えば指を動かした時にどういうふうにリマップすると、なんか自然に動きが一致してるって感じられるのかとか、なんか自分と全然違う形のアバターとかロボットとか操る時に何がナチュラルなのかみたいな課題としては残ってると思います。
あ、そっかそっか。だから指の形が違う、だから指じゃない場合ってことですよね。だけど人差し指を例えば動かしたら毎回同じ動きはするっていう。
そうですね。
ああ、そっかそっか。なんかあの、ナミさんが多分ちょっと前にツイートしてた、なんか、あの、VR の中での移動方法をまとめてあるやつ、あれもすごい面白いなと思ったんですけど、あれも心理学関係あるっていうか、なんか、どうしたら自分がナチュラルに移動してるように感じるかみたいなことですよね。
そうですね。なんか、everything is related to psychology because the VR is a subjective experience.
Right.
そう。特にその移動の方法に関しては、の VR の中ではみんな無限の空間を移動したいじゃないですか。けど現実って大体限られてるので、はい、スペースが。必ずその一対一対応させるのってほとんど難しいんですよね。基本的には自分は動いてないのに、VR では動いてるっていうそのミスマッチが生じちゃうので、そこをなんかうまく把握するというか、なんか、騙すことができるかっていうのは結構難しい課題だし、まあ、サイコロジカルな問題でもあるっていう感じですね。
ナミさん的に今のところベストはどのやり方ですか？
難しい。なんか、結構その慣れの問題とかもやっぱあって、最初はすごい違和感あるけど、慣れてくるとこれ早いとか。
ああ、なるほどなるほど。
なんかそのちょっと歩、実際に歩くと向こうでも VR でも歩けるみたいな、やっぱナチュラルではあるんですけど、普段毎回それやるってなるとちょっとめんどくさいなみたいなこともあったりして、だから慣れてくるともうすごい酔うんだけどコントローラーでやって、その間目つぶるみたいなやり方に落ち着いちゃったりします。
ああ、そっか。まあ、確かに自分が実際歩い、あの、私とマイケル一回お台場でね、あの、本当に歩くやつ、あの、VR ヘッドセットをつけて実際に歩き回り、結構広い空間歩き回りながらゾンビをやっつけるやつやったことあるんですけど、なんか普通に考えると、あ、実際歩く方がこうリアリティがあるしって思うけど、今おっしゃったみたいにしょっちゅうやるとなると、確かに毎回なんか広い空間を歩き回るの疲れるし、めんどくさいかもしれないですね。そっか。
We saw、I think we talked about this research once, but it would rotate the camera slightly in between your eyes looking aroundSo like in your sort of blind split seconds, it would adjust the scene to one direction over and over. So you would think that you're walking in a straight line, but the world would turn and it would actually make you walk in a circle in real life. And do you remember this study, Ami?
Yeah. Is that becoming something common, or is that still pretty...
I don't think they're using that. But I was wondering, if we did try to use something like that, is there a potential like to... Would there be some negative side effect to that, you think? Have you noticed those kinds of like distortion?
If you use that technique too much, users will realize...And maybe they get motion sickness. But if the distortion is limited, I think it pretty much, it works pretty well. And なんか海外のどっかの施設で確か実際にそれ使ったあの VR 施設というか、実際歩くタイプのやつがあった。 と思うんですけど、今どうなってるか分かんないですけど。
そっか。あ、でも確かにちょっと歩くようなシーンをそれでやるのはいいけど、何十分とかこうぐるぐるしてたら気持ち悪くなりそう。
And there's probably a limit to how small the space can be, you know. You can't turn too sharp. Probably get dizzy or something.
Yeah.
So in our ordinary, everyday, living, conscious experience, it's basically like a GoPro camera. And we have these two, like, meat sticks, like manipulators. Mm-hmm. And so we can change the manipulators, what they look like. But how do we, do you know anything about how we react to changing our, how we see, like, different filters? And, you know, there are a lot of, what would you call them? Like Instagram effects and stuff that we can put on scenes. How does that affect people psychologically to... do you have some idea about
that? I recently tested the effects of photorealism of VR environments on the user experience of VR. And it's said that the less photorealistic the environment is, the less people feel the sense of presence. The sense of presence is the sense of being there. So they tend to feel less sense of their kind of immersion there. But that's natural, I think.
Could that change over time? So if someone spends... It's like when people first play a game like Minecraft, it's like I can't really tell what's going on. It's too square. But people adapt to it and sort of start... It starts to feel very natural.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't test the time course of the effect, but I guess so.
やっぱ順応する力があるから、こう慣れを考慮すると結構何でも、じゃあ何でも OK までいかないけど結構 OK かもしれないってことですよね。
そうですね。なんかその現実にフィルターかけるっていう話だと、その逆になんか現実の解像度を下げるような演出をして、kind of AR or MR、なんかそうするとなんかトリックをしたときになんか信じ込みやすいみたいなことをやってる人とかもいて、だから割ともしかしたらその解像度とかフィルターみたいな部分とかはかなり慣れやすいというか、問題じゃないかもしれないですね。
It seems as though lighting has a huge effect on realism. You can take very unrealistic scenes, even like the blocky Minecraft-style scenes, and if you apply ray tracing, sort of realistic lighting, to the scene, then I think it suddenly becomes much more immersive to people. There's definitely something about the lighting that sort of triggers, like, this is kind of fake. You know?
Yeah. か、あの、影を表示するかどうかとかでも、このポケモン GO とか、AR でこういうシャドウ出すかどうかで結構やっぱそこにマッチしてる感じが出るかって変わってくるって言います。
そっか。なるほど。
Have you done any experiments on falling, or so I've fallen in VR, but I'm not falling in real life. And there's this like the you kind of get this roller coaster feeling, like like you're gonna fall, like you feel it physically in your body, and you're not falling at all. So then you I don't know, it feels really weird. It feels different than actually falling. It's like this very strange feeling.
なんかあのエレベーター乗るときにこうエレベーターエスカレーターかエスカレーターがこう動いてると思ったら止まってるみたいな、
あるある
あ
るあれめっちゃ変な感じしますよねあれ何なんだろうあのなんか止まってるエスカレーターを登ってるときのなんかもう止まってるって分かってるし、普通に階段登ってるのと一緒なんだけど、階段登ってるのと全然違う感じ。なんか、あれ普通に、の日常生活の中で違和感トップ10ぐらいに入るぐらいの違和感ありません?あれすごい。
We must be conditioned by escalators subconsciously. So now,When they don't move, it feels wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Our brains kind of predict what happens. But it actually didn't happen. So.
So we can get used to those effects in VR the same way. So if I fall off the building in VR, you know, it's kind of like Neo in the Matrix, right? I jump and I fall off the building in VR, and after like 100回目, I'm gonna feel like I won't feel that intense. Like, will I learn that I'm not? It might be a bad way to condition your brain to not to not be afraid of jumping off a building. But it seems like you get used to it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess so. I haven't tried it, but.
There's a game called, I think it's called Population One. It's like an Oculus FPS shooter game that's online. And in the beginning of the game, you are dropped in these pods from like the sky, and the pod falls to the ground. And my brother plays this game a lot, and he says he doesn't feel sick at all playing this game. Like, he feels completely fine. But I tried to play it, and I felt really sick. And he told me, like, oh, you'll get used to it. And he's gotten completely used to it, it seems like. But I couldn't get through the adaptation stage, so I just stopped playing. Because they drop the pod at the beginning of the game every time, and I'm like, oh, or I just close my eyes because I can't take it. Are you like really comfortable with that sort of thing? I'm sure you spend a lot of time in VR, so.
Yeah, I think because I know how to create VR situations, so I'm kind of easily get used to the VR environment because I know how it works.
そっか。でもなんだ、さっきマイケルが言ったみたいに、じゃあ穴に落っこちた時に VR の中で、最初はこうお腹がヒュッてなって本当に落ちてるみたいな怖いって思うけど、それをじゃあ100回ぐらいやってもう慣れちゃって何も感じなくなった時に、なんだろう、それでも VR って楽しめるか。なんだろう。まあ別に落ちるだけが楽しみじゃないから、まあ他の楽しみ方いろいろあるかもしれないけど、こう、みんなが頻繁に使うようになった時に、もうなんか、あの、わーっていうのもうないね、みたいな。なんかその現象に名前があるのかわかんないけど。
なんか、でも現実でも、すごい、こう、なんだろう。ある特殊な競技とか、なんかスキンシャン。多分100回ぐらいやってたら慣れるじゃないですか。なんかそれと同じような感じなのかなとは思いますけどね。
ね、慣れちゃう。
Does that mean...
それにも慣れちゃうけどみたいな。Does、他のことしたら別に。
Sorry. Oh, does that mean that I would feel the falling feeling less in real life if I jump off a building?
I think so.
え
It would, right?
Yeah.
So,
but for that to happen, your brain...
もう変わっちゃった。
Well, if your brain cannot seriously tell the reality and VR apart, then maybe that's the case. But if you're trying to... If you're falling off the cliff or from the building in reality, right? Your brain knows that you are actually gonna fall. So...
Does it?
It's not like you can train in VR, right? You can like jump off a building 1,000 times in VR, and when you actually do it in reality, you're totally gonna be okay. Like, I don't know if that's the case, right?
It makes sense to me though, because the way that you know, it's a subconscious reaction. And if you jump off a building in real life, most of that information is visual. You've already trained to not have the visual reaction, right?
Yeah, but I mean, usually it's based on your own experience, right? You've never actually jumped off a building. It's your first time and you know it.
I've jumped off a building in VR. Non-kaimo.
Yeah, in VR, yeah, but you haven't actually done it. So I don't know. Well, maybe the example is off. Maybe it's like, それこそスポーツみたいな、なんか、もう100万回、あ、でもな、どうだろう。例えばだけど、あの、メジャーリーグの野球選手がボールを自分に向かって投げてくる。それを打つ練習を VR で知ってた場合、打ち返すことはまあ当然できないかもしれないけど、このボールを怖いって思う確率はちょっと減るかもしれないとかはありますよね。多分 VR でもう何回も経験したから、実際にそのボールを投げられた時に、あ、いつものやつだみたいな。
そうですね。この VR のトレーニング系は全部そうやって VR で起こったことを現実でも使えるっていう前提のもとでやってるので、だからやっぱり崖から飛び降りるのもなんか同じなんじゃないかなって思いますけどね。ある程度は。
So could it be useful for like fear of heights training? You could put yourself in.
Exactly.
So you can fix that with VR by just putting yourself in this.
It's kind of exposure therapy. It has been used for a long time, even without VR. それを模した環境にこう入れ、あの、ずっと無理やり、無理やりじゃないですけど。でそれに慣れていくっていうので、それが環境がバーチャルになっただけで、まあ、基本的にはだからそのバーチャルリアリティを自分のオンエクスペリエンスとして感じるから使われてるのであって、
なんか実際のコンセクエンスがない場合は多分そうっていうことですよね、きっと。なんかなんだろう、例えば包丁で自分を刺すみたいな。まあそのビルから飛び降りるのと一緒で。
そうですね。その意味では確かに違って、その野球のトレーニングで言うと、多分打ってるけど何も感覚がないみたいな感じだから、そのアウトカムがないと確かに。
うん、
特に、そうですね。生死に関わる話はどれくらい、その VR 本当と思うかは確かによくわかんないですけど。
Do you use VR for any of your personal training?
No.
実際結構日本でも使われてるんですか？そのなんか心理学的な意味で、なんかその fear を overcome するとか、その。
はいはい。なんか多分研究とかだと結構使われてる。と思いますし、現場でも使ってるとこはあると思うんですけど、どれくらい普及してるかっていうと、でもニュースとかだとすごい日本でも海外でもよく見ますね。PTSD とか、なんかアメリカとか。
日本だとどうしてもやっぱりなんか AV が一番なんかよく言われてるっていうか、なんか
一番なんか
一般の人が使うっていう意味では なんかそこが一番発展してる印象があるんですけど。
なんかその日常生活でそのすごいイマーシブな体験をしたいの時ってそんなにゲームかなんか AV かぐらいじゃないですか多分。からのアプリケーションとしてはいろいろ使われててもそのユーザーが使うってなったらそういうなんか限られたアプリケーションになるってのは分かりますね。
まあ 2C だとってことですよね多分。
そうですね。
I saw that something like 65 million VR headsets were sold in the United States last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like a lot. And I think it's estimated there are around 300 million VR users globally.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a country.
Mm. Yeah.
like a big country. And it, I know it varies like how often people actually use it, but I think there's something like 15% of them or something regularly use it on like VR chat and sort of these social apps on there. How do you think this might change society or our culture or how we socialize?
Yeah, that's another tough question. Yeah, I don't think VR is special. Like, you know, you use other types of media and how can I say but なんか違いがあるとすれば私はそのアバターに入るっていうところだと思ってて、それ以外は、VR チャットとかも基本的には他のソーシャルゲームの延長で、そのアバターっていう観点で言うとアバターの見た目で自分の行動とかが変わってしまうみたいな効果が知られてて、プロテウスエフェクトって言うんですけど、そういう意味では、すごくその別の体に入る時間が長くなるっていうことは、自分のアイデンティティみたいな部分に影響するっていうことなので、ちょっと、他の SNS とかは意味合いが違ってくるとは思うんですけど、ただ、なんか、質的に違うものなのか、ただのこれまでのゲームの延長なのかは、ちょっとまだわからないなっていう感じです、個人的には。
It feels more real and intimate socially. Like if you, even if you're both in weird avatars, if you're standing in this virtual room with somebody else, and they can move their body and you can kind of move yours. It feels, it feels like hanging out more than other platforms do, I think. And I don't know if it could replace, social interaction, but I think for some people it serves as a substitute for, like in-person social interaction.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
でもやっぱさっきナミさんが言ったみたいに、なんていうの、その自分のアバターの見た目に引きずられて自分の言動が変化してしまってる場合、それがしかも無意識の場合、例えば VR で過ごす時間がすごい長いとか、特定の人とは VR の中でばっかり話すみたいな時に、まあ本来の自分とまた別の、まあ、人格じゃないけどが生まれるってことですよね。可能性があるっていうか。
そうですね。でもなんか別にそれってそのアバターがなくてもツイッターでも別に違う人格を持ってる人いるし、なんか VR チャットとか特有の現象かって言われるとそうでもないかなっていう気もしますけどね。もう割といろんな そもそももう現代社会でいろんな人格を持ってるから、
うん、
なんかそのうちの一つが VR になるかもしれないし、そのまた別の人格としてなんかツイッター上の自分みたいのがいるかもしれないし、
うん、ですもんね。多分ツイッターの場合はこう見た目、まあ、自分でこうツイッターのなんだろう、特定の見た目を自分の頭の中で作って、その見た目を元に発言してる場合は多分別だけど、こう普通は多分見た目に引きずられてるわけじゃないですもんね。多分そういう意味ではちょっと特殊ですよね、きっと。
そうですね、その意味では
なんか性別とか動物の種類とかによってこう、
うん、
だって自分がなんか自分で想像した時に、自分が例えば男性の超マッチョな男性のアバターとか使ってたら、それに引きずられないって逆に難しそうですよね。
How do you think you'd act?
わかんないけど、多分自分が思うマッチョな男性のステレオタイプっぽい言動をしそうっていうか、なんかそれに期待することをそのまま自分も、
まさにその研究でそのステレオタイプに引きずられた言動をするっていうことがいっぱい示されてて、例えばなんか背の高いアバターを使うと、なんか交渉するときにすごい強気になるとか、あとそのなんだっけ、アインシュタインのアバターを使うとなんか認知課題の成績が上がるみたいな、ちょっと分かんない時期あったりして、まあそういうポジティブな効果はいいんですけど、なんかそのステレオタイプ、自分の抱くそのアバターへのステレオタイプが如実にこう無意識に出ちゃうのって結構怖いなって思ってて。
そうですよね。だからこう VR を使ったソーシャルメディアみたいなものが、例えばすごい今のツイッターみたいに人気になった場合に、そのなんだろう、今このステレオタイプと戦おうとしてるもの、例えば女性はこうであるべきみたいなのとかをが再生産されちゃうみたいな。
いや本当まさにそうで、それすごい思います。結構美少女アバターを使う人が多いみたいなのが結構、うん、まあ、日本だけか分かんないですけどあって、でみんな動きが可愛くなったみたいに言うんですけど、なんかそれってその人の思う可愛らしさみたいなのがすごい現れてて、
うん、
すごいそれって再生産されるよな
ですよね。なんかこう、例えばだけど女性は弱々しくあるべき、女性とは弱々しいものであるみたいな、まあ、ステレオタイプがあるとして、それが多分歴史の中でこう時間かけて人類が、あ、でもそういうわけじゃないね、多様性ってものがあって、すごい強い女性もいれば弱い女性もいるよねみたいな事実に今こう目を向けているところなのに、その例えば美少女アバターが大量にいて、みんなが本当に弱々しく、そうステレオタイプを再生産している場合に、それを見て、あ、本当に女性ってやっぱみんな弱々しいんだみたいな、それがさらに強化されるみたいな、なんかそう考えると結構怖いですよね。
なんか結構女性だと何をしても許される可愛い存在だみたいなことを言う人がいて、別に許されてないじゃないですか、女性。なんかそういう一面だけすごいアバターに投影されてると、なんか、まあ、その彼らにとっての美少女ってその現実の女性とはもう全然違う存在なのかもしれないんですけど、やっぱり男性か女性でかで言うと女性のアバターをしてるものに、そういうなんか願望みたいなのを投影されると、ちょっとどうしていいか分かんないっていうか、女性として
確かに。なんか私も人狼っていうゲームのなんか長期版みたいな、なんかリアルタイムでやるオンラインのやつをやってた時があって、こう、それは自分の役割が自動で割り当てられるから、それが男か女とかおじさん、若い子とか、自分では選べないんですけど、若い女の子だった時に、なんか少女みたいな役割を与えられた時に、なんかすごいやっぱみんなが優しくて、で、こう、それやっぱ少女ってみんなが思ってるから優しくしてるわけなんだけど、確かに、例えば、こう、すごいミソジニスティックな男性が、女って何でも許されるよなっていう偏見を持ったまま、美少女アバターを使って、みんなが本当に実際自分に優しくしてきた場合に、あ、自分の偏見って正しかったんだっていう謎のコンファメーションバイアスになりますよね、多分。 そう考えると、それは男女だけじゃなくて、まあそれ男女逆の場合も多分あると思うんですけど、その男性に対する偏見がまあ強化されるとか、人種とか、そう考えると、ね。
What's the gender ratio on these platforms? It's hard to tell. I assume that it's mostly men that are on yeah. like VR chat, but the characters are mostly women.
Yeah.
Hmm. So.
But if they all chose the same gender that they actually are, it'd just be a bunch of dudes, mostly, just standing in VR chat.
When you say VR chat, are you referring to like chat in games or what?
Well, they have VR chat.
Yeah, that's the application name.
Oh, so you just is it like you just talk to strangers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't played that.
Oh.
It's really popular. I tried it the other day.
Okay.
One of my friends tried it and she was called, someone just walked up to her and said, "Are you cringe?" She was like, I don't know. And she, I guess she quit. I guess she was traumatized.
What?
Because people just can say whatever they want and they don't really know if, I guess she was the default character.
Okay.
So if you're the default avatar, then people kind of think like you're an outsider to VR community, I think.
Oh.
It's like you didn't even bother to change your avatar. So it's like,
oh.
And that's like cringe.
Mm. Huh.
I guess. I don't know. That's just one person's opinion, but.
そういう独特のカルチャーがもう生まれてるっていうこと?
Well, it's like noob culture, right? Like,
right.
New people are like, you're a noob.
Mm. なんかそういう傾向ってあるんですかね? その、例えば男性は女性のアバター選びがちとか、なんかそういう、なんていうの、統計的な傾向っていうか、今のところ。
統計的なのはわかんないですけど、本当に感覚的な話では、みんな、美少女というか、やっぱなんかその女性アバターってわけでもなく、本当美少女アバターと呼ばれるようなものを使ってて、で、やっぱユーザーは男性が多いとは思います。
そのなんか美少女になりたいってこと?
なんか多分なんですけど、美少女になりたいっていうのもあるし、作りやすいんじゃないかなって思ってて、違うのかな、うん、なんかもともとその絵を描いたりできる人じゃない絵を描いたりとかそのクリエイトできる人じゃないとアバター作れなくてでなんかやっぱ描かれるものとかも 美男子より美少年より美少女のなんかアバターと 3D モデルとかって多分元から作られてたりして使いやすいっていうのもあるのかなとは思いつつ。
あ、だからそもそもユーザー層が偏ってるからって。
そうですね。
あ、そっか。そういうことか。
I guess there's less 3D CAD modelers like passionately making models of dudes. It's like less.
Yeah.
そういうことか。そっか。
You know,it's interesting to think about the possibilities in virtual reality. It seems like the possibilities are almost infinite. You know, you could create any object that you could imagine. You could conceivably, you could make it in 3D and show, you know, your friends or whoever. And I think as such tools become more accessible for like ordinary people, it'll be interesting. Like,we can all share our visual, like 3D ideas or share our dreams. So I've had like crazy dreams where I'm being chased by Terminator or I'm like drifting on Jack's beanstalk or whatever it is. But we can create these experiences and share them with each other. And, you know, so I hope it goes beyond the bishoujo, like, phenomenon.
So for now, creating virtual environment for avatar, like 3D models, is still difficult. So it's kind of privilege to some people. Like, I cannot create my own 3D models by myself. So that's kind of limiting the possibilities of VR.
I think it's getting much easier and much cheaper. There are tools like Blender or like Vectory. It's like a browser-based one. And
I'm just curious, because like Nami-san's 何専門が心理学だから、なんかそっちで考えていくと、like、Twitter みたいに顔がない、そのまあ写真はあるけどみたいな状態で誹謗中傷言われるのと、さっきのマイケルの例みたいな、例えば VR チャットの中でなんか猫の被り物みたいな人に誹謗中傷言われるのだったら、逆になんかアバターが見えてる方がバカバカしく感じてあんまり傷つかないのか、それともなんかそのバカバカしさはもう慣れてしまっての乗り越えちゃって、け意外とこう目の前に人がいる方が傷つくのか、どうなんですかね。
なんかどれくらいそのツイッターなり VR なりの存在にアイデンティティを感じてるか依存なんじゃないですかね。
そっか。
でもちょっと今思ったのは、例えば私がマミさんのアバターを、超リアルなアバターを使ってて VR でその状態で誹謗中傷言われたら、なんかまあ私に言われてんじゃないしみたいに思うかもしれないなってちょっと思いました、
ですよね。とか自分がなんか単純にすごいバカバカしい見た目、なんか宇宙人とかの見た目にしてて、すごい死ねとか言われても、いやまあ宇宙人だしみたいな、こう意外逆に自分のアイデンティティと切り離して考えられるのかなとか。だけど逆に言うと、そのアバターと長時間時間を過ごすうちにそれがもう自分のアイデンティティになっちゃうから、きっとそうなると普通に傷つくかとか
かもしれないですね。
I've seen some really some of the most intense and honest and open conversations I've ever heard were on VR, and there are a lot of people on VR who want to share their life story or want to share what happened to them, or and they feel like they can do so sort of freely in the virtual world. Have you noticed this at all, or do you feel like this is that people might be more willing to talk about their life or very personal things that you wouldn't want to share with someone that is actually connected to your life, you know? But
Well, actually, I'm not a big fan of VR outside work. And I mean, as a player, so I seldom use an HMD in my daily life. So I haven't experienced that.
There's one of the most popular VR YouTube channels, I think, is called Simor. And it's a series of interviews of people on VR. Where they talk about everything. They don't reveal who they are, but they talk about very private things. And many of them are people that have certain disabilities that make it difficult for them to have social interactions in real life because of the way people would look at them, or because of just physical disabilities that make it difficult for them to go outside, or they can't be exposed to the sunlight. And those people are sort of put on the same level as everyone else inside of VR. I find that has been really interesting, I think.
that's a very positive side of VR, because they can be free from their physical appearance or abilities. They can be anyone else in VR.
Do you think some people might live in VR, like mostly live in VR over time?
I don't know. Maybe some people would like to.
Because you could work inside VR and make money, potentially, right? Like you could
be employed. But for now, I'm not sure.
なんか最近ツイッター、日本語でツイッターでバイラルになってたやつがあって、なんか普通の一個のツイートなんだけど、なんか自分が死ぬ瞬間とか直前に、こう VR で、なんか自分の子供がちっちゃかった時に自分に向かって走ってきてる。で、なんか自分の子供を抱きしめるみたいな。それをやって死にたいみたいな。なんか、自分がおばあちゃんとかになった時に。って言ってる人がいて、なんか、ああ、めっちゃわかると思ったけど、なんか、今のお年寄りはまだあんまりそういうツールがないから、結構こう、テレビ見たりとか、まあ、例えばうちのおばあちゃんとか、なんだろう、もうテレビ見るしかない。で、こう、目も悪くなってきてからあんまり本とかも読めないみたいになった時に、VR があったら楽しいのかなと思うけど、どうですかね。
そういうお年寄りのための VR みたいなのやってる活動家というか、そういう活動してる方もいて、やっぱりすごい喜ぶみたいですね。物理的にやっぱ外とかも出れないから、その本当旅行 VR とかって別に、なんか私たちがやっても割とちょっと不運って感じじゃないですか、けどやっぱりもう本当に絶対外出れないってなると、海外の景色とか見るとすごい喜ぶみたいで、
そっか、いやどうなるんだろうと思ってこれから
I guess the ideal for VR is being indistinguishable from reality, right?We wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, ultimately.
And some people have hypothesized that this could have already happened, and that over time, VR became indistinguishable from reality, and that we are in some kind of virtual reality right now. It seems like a silly idea, but does that make sense to you? Or do you think that we're in base reality?
That's difficult. It makes sense, but I don't know how to deny it.
Yeah, they say it would be made in a way so we can't falsify.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what will happen when that happens? So eventually it will become indistinguishable from reality. If it's hard to imagine that it worked that way right now, right? Like if I go put my Oculus on, that it'll be this good. But if it was that way, is there a risk of maybe going crazy or losing track?
What do you mean?
Like, you could virtual reality cause some kind of psychosis, for example?
I don't think so. I mean, that the real reality could cause that.
Psychosis?
Yeah. So I think virtual reality is not special. Mm. It's because real reality is also, like, I don't know how to say, but...
But if we couldn't tell the difference...
Yeah.
Seems confusing.
Yeah. Maybe. If some evil people design some evil virtual reality, then... But... Yeah.
Like if it's too shocking, right? Like in horror games or something. If it's too, I don't know, graphic, or if it's traumatizing, then if it's too real, maybe I'm sure the effect is going to be different from just a normal movie or a book, I would assume. But what do you think?
Yeah. Maybe, but I'm not sure how much it's different from the normal movie or first-person shooting games. So,
what if we got rid of the headset part? So there's no headset. You don't have any equipment.
Mm.
You just, I don't know, you tap on your forehead or something. And it starts. It's kind of like the Inception problem, you know?
Yeah.
You don't know how many dreams deep there are. You don't know which experience is like the base experience. Because eventually they're going to get rid of the headset, right? And it's going to go into the Neuralink or something. And so the electrical impulses will just be directly to your brain. So you will just change what you're perceiving and have this digital hallucination on command, just right there. And then you don't know if your base reality is also a digital hallucination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So right now, I think the headset kind of is the cue, you know, like... But without the headset, if it's inside like the Neuralink, it seems like that would create psychological difficulty. I would be scared to do it because I don't know if I'm like, when you wake up in the morning, sometimes you don't know, like you're still inside your dream world. And it's like, what am I doing here? You know, you get confused.
But you still get physical environment around you, right? So
what do you mean?
Like in your base reality.
Right. But you would have that if they did the Neuralink, they can make you feel physical things and they can make you see things just like.
Right. But I mean, if you're in base reality, looking at something in VR, even if you get sensory information from the VR environment, you also get sensory information from the base reality, right? So if you walk around, you would hit your bed or...
Not if you were if you had the Neuralink. You would get the sensory reality from the virtual reality.
Yeah, but you would also get sensory information from base reality, right? How can you not?
But you're just floating in a pool of liquid or something. Like, it's...
They
will be able to completely override your base reality signals. That's the idea.
Well, if you're floating in some tank,
but
I
you
guess.
are floating.
Not if you're in your own room.
We're floating in a little tank called the skull, right? Like you're floating in a little tank, I'm floating in a little tank, and Nami's floating in a little tank. And all we have are electrical impulses that go to the brain floating in the tank. And that's what it is right now. Like right now, that's all we have. Right? So if you change the electrical impulses that go to the brain in the tank, we wouldn't know which is which.
Right, if you're floating in a water tank. Like your
physical
body.
I'm saying that we literally are floating in water tanks.
Yeah, I know what you're saying too, but like for you to completely confuse reality and VR environment, even if you have Neuralink, you can't really turn off sensory information that you get from your base reality, right?
Why not?
How can you do that?
We already do that with less sophisticated technology.
I mean, like, for example, you're in the VR channel in your brain. You're looking at something completely different from your surrounding environment. You can still walk around and hit your table. You can still smell something if your mom starts cooking in your kitchen, right? Like the base reality is always there, so.
It won't be there if you have Neuralink, though.
Why?
Because it's just electrical impulses to a brain. That's all it is. So if you don't get the electrical impulses to the brain, you don't have access to base reality.
But why don't you get why don't you get those in your brain?
Well, normally we do, but we don't have to. You could turn those off. Because those signals come from our senses and they're sent to the brain, right? There's like wiring.
Right.
Maybe Nami can clarify this epistemological dilemma.
You mean like if people choose to have a VR channel in your brain and when you turn that thing on, you turn off your all kinds of sensory output in your brain. So you're not like smelling anything, you're not feeling anything except for things that you like sensory information that you get from VR.
Yeah.
That's technically possible, I think.
Yeah. Why would you do that? That's so scary.
We already do that though. We have earphones that, you know, sort of insulate outside noise, or we cover our eyes. You know, we can't see anything except for what the screen is showing us, unless you're doing pass through or something. But we want to be able to feel. If you want to feel immersed in the virtual world, then you don't want that much sensory input from base reality.
でもなんだろう、蛇口の水をがジャージャー流れてるのを止めるのと水道の元栓を閉めるのと結構違うくないと思うんだけど。
It's just electrical impulses that's running the reality right now, and Neuralink or any future virtual device would just replace it with different impulses.
ナミさん的にどうですかね。そこまで行く、そこまで行きますかね、人類。
どうなんでしょうね。なってほしいですけどね。
あ、なってほしい。
うん。That's the ideal。
なんか使うかどうかは別として。
うん。あ、技術としてってこと。
見てみたいですけどね。
うん。そっか。
It's so amazing what they've been able to do so far to make VR seem more realistic. I have this boxing game called Thrill of the Fight. And when I punch, I'm not hitting anything. I'm just punching the air in real life. But in the game, when I punch this guy, the controller vibrates right when the punch lands. And for some reason, it feels kind of realistic. It feels much more real than you'd expect.It's like it's a neat little trick that they have. So when you hit stuff, it like vibrates the controller, and then you kind of feel like something's there.
Yeah. Visual information can kind of complement other senses.
Mm.
So that's called cross-modal effect.
Mm.
So even though you have no physical haptic feedback, you can complement or kind of imagine what kind of haptic feedback would be.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But the controller physically vibrates.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's because the timing is perfect.
Mm.
It like works really well.
そっか。今研究されてるのは、そのアバターがメインですか？それとも他にも？
そうですね。アバターがメインです。
あ、そっか。え、具体的にどういう研究されてるんですか？例えば。
と、例えばで言うと、そのアバターの見た目と行動の関係とかをこの前調べてて、VR で結構のユーザーがなんかバーチャルな壁があったとしても突き抜けちゃうみたいな行動を取ることがあって、つまり、なんかあんまりリアルだと思ってないから、そのバーチャルだし壁突き抜けれるだろうと思って突き抜けちゃうみたいなことがあって、で、その行動って多分そのどれくらい VR 空間を本当にリアルな空間だと思ってるかどうかで違ってくるっていう仮説があって、で、さらにそれって、バーチャルな、その空間自体の質じゃなくて、実は自分、アバターが違うことで、そのユーザーが取り得る行動が変わってくるんじゃないかって思って、それですごいリアルなヒューマノイドのアバターとか、ただのコントローラーだけとか、いろんな4種類のアバターのタイプにそれぞれ被験者を分けて、なんか VR の中の迷路みたいなとこにユーザーを没入させたときに、やっぱりリアルなアバターを使ってる人ほど、壁、バーチャルな壁をちゃんと壁だと思って、そこには、現実には何も壁はないから、別に通り抜けてもいいんだけど、そこを通らずに、なんかショートカットとかせずに、ちゃんと壁を壁と思って動いてくれるっていう研究とかやりました。
あ、そっか。だ、その、環境の見た目が超リアルじゃなくても、ってことですね。そのアバター次第っていうか。
そうですね。その、まあ、環境がリアルだとそれはそれでいいんですけど、割とこれまでの研究って、その研究とかゲームとかって、その、どう空間作り込むかの方に重点が置かれてて、あんまり自分の見た目がそこまで影響するっていうふうに考えられてなくて、でも実は結構自分の見た目が変わるだけで行動とか、なんか知覚とかって変わるんじゃないかって思って、それで、だからあんまり注目されてなかったアバターの効果を実証したっていう感じですね。
なるほど、なるほど。そっか。確かになんかすごいリアルな人間のアバターなのに壁通り抜けたら逆に違和感ありますもんね。
うん。で、コントローラーだとなんかまあ、ちょっとゲームっぽくなっちゃって通ってもいいかなってなっちゃうのは、なんか後から考えてみればまあ、メイクセンスって感じなんですけど。
So is that potentially useful in maybe for certain virtual environment designs where you really don't want someone to enter a physical space, maybe?
Enter physical space or like training that we really want the users to behave realistically. トレーニングとかするのに、まあ VR だしと思ってなんか適当なことやられると困るじゃないですか。なるべく現実をシミュレートしようとして VR を使ってるのに。
確かに。
あんまりだからちゃんとデザインした通りにユーザーに動いてもらうのってすごい難しくて。結構、例えばその崖とか最初の話じゃないですけど、崖作ったら現実だったら誰も 飛び降りないじゃないですか。VR だとなんか何が起こるんだろうと思って飛び降りる人とか出てきて、
あ、そっか。
だからなんかユーザーの行動をリミットするのとかちゃんと予測するのってすごい難しいんですよね。けどそれももしかしたらなんかそのアバターが例えば手だけしか見えてなかったからなんじゃないかとかいうのがこの研究で言えるっていう、
うん、そうか、面白い。なんかユーザーをこう誘導しないといけないわけですもんね。ある程度その予測可能な範囲の中で動いてくれよみたいな、
うん、
そっか。
で普通のゲームだとなんか例えばもう物理的にそのコントローラーの移動が効かなくするとか、
うん、
カメラの移動を止めちゃうとかできるんですけど、 VR でそれやるとすごい酔っちゃったりとか違和感あったりとかするので、うん、なんか自然に制限しないといけないんですよね。
うんうんうん、なるほど。なんかあの航空会社とかあの整備士さん用に VR 使ったりとか多分してて、それも多分なんかあのリアルな、なんかプレスリリースとか読んだことあるんですけど、やっぱりこうリアルな環境、もう本当のエンジンみたいなあの環境用意しましたみたいなのは確かにすごい推してるけど、それ自分のアバターがどんぐらいリアルかってあんまり別にそこで特に研究されることないですもんね。でも確かにそこでこう VR だし、それこそなんかめんどくさいからこうやってやっちゃおうみたいな、なんか、だと、元も子もないですもんね。そっか。
How do you think, the VR setting could influence how people buy things or whether people, like, I've seen, I think it started with like IKEA or IKEA, they were,They had like some AR sofa thing, and I think part of it was you could see the dimensions in your room, which I think is probably helpful. But are there going to be stores in VR, you think? Like if I
think AR is obviously useful for shopping, but as for VR...I'm not sure.
What about like Airbnb, if they just like loaded the rooms in VR? And so I have Oculus. So let's say I'm thinking about staying in this place in VR and I just load up the Airbnb room and I can walk around and maybe I can open the cabinet and be like, oh, okay, they have, you know, pots and pans or whatever.
Yeah, that's useful. Yeah.And maybe we can see the place for vacations before we go.
So I would like to do that, personally. I saw that you did some research with co-embodiment. I'm assuming that means two people in one body?
Yeah.
So you share an avatar with some other person?
Yes, exactly.
面白い。え、どうなるんですか、それ。どういうこと？
let me share the link to a video.
Okay.
Sounds kind of freaky.
なんかあの、なんだっけ。あの運動会のやつ、足をさ縛って一緒に走るやつなんて言うんだっけ、あれみたいな。
Kind of. I sent you a link.
ああ、二人でコントローラーを持って一人のアバターを動かす。
いや。
え、これどうなってんの？
So usually you.When you embody an avatar, you have full control over it. But in contrast, in virtual co-embodiment, it's a concept we originated, but multiple users are immersed in a single virtual avatar while sharing the control of it.
なんかめっちゃ仲良くなれそう。
なんか実際ちょっと 面白くて、その実験は知らない人同士のペアでやってもらって、うん、なんかしばらく一緒の体使ってもらってたんですけど、その仲良くさせるのがもちろん目的じゃなかったんですけど、なんか終わってこう HMD 外してみるとすごいなんか照れ笑いというか、なんかさっき一緒の体だったねみたいな感じになってて、ちょっと面白かった。
絶対仲良くなりそう。
Are you lonely after that, maybe?
なんか仲間意識っていうか、俺たちは同じチームだよねみたいな気持ちになりそう。
なんか、喋らなくても、実験では口でコミュニケーション取るのは禁止したんですけど、
もう
なんか動きで相手の意思がわかるというか、なんか、あっち行こうとしてるなみたいなのが自分の体の動きで分かってるから、なんか、それで OK じゃあそっち行こうみたいなのを結構口で言わずにやってる感じはあります。
そっか。これってその一人はじゃあ手を、なんかヘンズを動かすことはできて、もう一人はアームみたいにアサインされてるってことですか、その部位が。それとも。
そういう分割の仕方もあり得るんですけど、私たちのは、なんか、kind of dividing the rate of control.
ああ、そういうことか、weight ここに書いてるの。
いやいやいや。
ああ。
blending to users' positions and rotations by taking a weighted average.
あ、そういうことか、面白い。だから乗っ取られ度合いが変化するみたいなことですよね。
そんな感じ。
そっかそっか。ちょっとやってみたい。
I want to see someone try to, not someone, but I guess two people try to like dance or something in VR. Or,
でもこれ本当心理学的な意味でなんか、わかんない。夫婦のカウンセリングとか、なんか、会社のオフサイトとか、こう、環境的に仲良くやっていかなきゃいけないんだけど、なかなか難しくなっちゃってる人たちにやってもらったら、でも逆にこれのせいで喧嘩するとかもありえな
かった。かもしれないです。なんか、協力的な人とのコンペティティブな人がいてやってる。
まあそっか。
なんかコーポレーティブペアーズだとなんか割とスッと OK って感じで同じ方向に行ったりできるんですけど、なんかコンペティティブな人が一人でもいるとなんかあえてちょっと意地悪してこう違う動きしたりとか。
そっかそっか。そっか、性格が一瞬でバレちゃう。
It sounds kind of fun. I don't know of any like public like online multiplayer games that use that kind of dynamic, but it seems like you could use that even without virtual reality. Kind of have this blended control, but maybe most people would just get frustrated.
いやー、めっちゃイライラしそう。普通のゲームだったら、なんか、右だってばーみたいな。喧嘩になりそう。
It'd be interesting to see that with different kinds of avatars, or like animal, maybe if there's some kind of, it's hard to say what the control mechanism would be, but if it's like a caterpillar or something else, you know, how do you move together? Mm-hmm.I mean, how can you be a caterpillar in VR? Or does that not work that well? Do you lie down in real life? Or, like, what's the best way to do that? Like,
there's no simple solution. I mean, it's really difficult to know what kind of remapping is best and natural for us. So,I think many researchers tackle on it, especially for in the field of telepresence. So it's the field of controlling a robot or something in a different place as an avatar. So if the robot is not a humanoid, they have to think about what kind of manipulations can be more natural or like that.
It seems like VR is somewhat limited to humanoid avatars, like pragmatically, right?
You mean like
because of the mapping issue?
Yeah, pragmatically, yes. But technically, no.
You mean like number of arms とかってこと? Like you can't really, I mean, it's kind of inconvenient if you had like 6 arms in VR.
Yeah. Well, it's, I think they call it like rigging, but models need to be rigged to have like joints and sort of a skeleton. And then that skeleton tends to be humanoid so that the joints can correspond with our movements.
Yeah.
But
can, if it's directly in our brain, like Neuralink, if we're going to move it directly from our brain, can our brain adjust to something like that? Like 6 arms or?
Well, that's difficult. Maybe we can adjust it, but basically it's difficult to change the mapping in the brain.
So I guess,
I don't know, maybe the brain is so plastic and they can adapt it. And also some researchers have developed wearable robotic fingers and arms, like extra pairs of arms and a third thumb. But they mostly use feet to control their extra arms or like that.
Does it seem like the human brain can sort of create virtual limbs internally that we don't actually have? Like it can create the sort of control mapping for.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about.
Yeah, it's obviously easier when we change the mapping, like control extra arm by feet. It's maybe more difficult to control an extra arm by, like, originally there's no region of brain for that. So like we have to, we need a certain mapping for that. So, but I'm not sure what's the most natural one.
Maybe we could create the mapping by, you add those limbs to the avatar, and then you have the user try to move the extra limbs over and over and just monitor their brain activity. And then whatever they're doing when they try to send that command, we can read that specific signal and map it. And I think they've done that for like moving an extra robot arm for like monkeys. But maybe we could have like extra limbs that we can control by training ourselves in VR, and then you make the extra limb in real life and sort of attach it, and then you can control it in real life.
That'd be cool. It's like you might as well, right? If you went わざわざそこまで努力して動かせるようになったら real life でも欲しいなみたいな。
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's kind of like, もったいない。
Well, you'd have the mapping, right? So, it seems like we can condition the proprioceptive sort of neural map for controlling limbs.
基本的にその研究されるときってこうなんか課題がまずある、その具体的な課題がまずあるんですかね。なんかそのさっきみたいに例えばこう行ってほしくないところにユーザーが行っちゃうみたいな課題があって研究のあのテーマが決まるのか、そうじゃないときもの方が多いとかなんかあります。
私の場合は、その課題は結構後付けのことが多くて、
あ、なるほど、
こういうのに使えるよねって後から考えることが多くて、結構心理学的興味っていうか、
うん、
なんかアバターってどこまで何々に影響するんだろうみたいな素朴な疑問から生まれてたりとか、
なるほど、
あとは先行研究とかでなんかここまで分かってるけど、じゃあこれってどうなんだろうみたいなところを調べたりっていうのが多いですね。うん、
そっか。アバターなんかその国によっても違ったりするんですかね。そのアバター例えばそのさっきみたいにこう日本は美少女が多いみたいななんか国によって傾向ってあります？
あんまり詳しくないんですけど、でもゲームその VR じゃないゲームでも結構そのキャラクターの見た目ってなんか違いません？幼芸とな
んか、ああ、単純に、ああ、そうですね。
なんか多分幼芸とかの方がすごいフォトリアリスティックな、使いたがるような気がしてます。
確かに。私もそういうイメージはあります。
There's a VR game. I can't remember what it's called. It's like Lost in the Desert or something. And the premise is that you're lost in the desert. And I guess you have a car. But there's like no... there's not really any plot. You're just lost in the desert and you have a car and you're in this procedural universe. And you just... like repair your car and you drive and you try to find these procedurally generated places that have like gas and stuff. And that's the whole thing. Like that's the whole game. That it's like super popular. People love that it's realistic. I guess it's like survival style game. But it seems like there is a trend towards having like very realistic simulators and sort of having this like really komakai realistic part of the experience, you know, like in that game, I guess you like turn bolts and just like really komakai, like you have to put the gas in the car by like you get the gas can and you like put gas in the car and then you actually take the gas can and you put it inside the car. Like physically in the VR. You know, most games it's just like it's like a menu. But this game has zero menus. It's all like you physically do it.
Are people not tired? Like
what do you mean? From physically doing stuff?
No, I mean like なんか現実で普通にも常に疲れてるから、そのゲームでその全部をちゃんとリクリエイトされてるとめっちゃめんどくさいんだけど。
People love the めんどくさい realism part. I think that's their favorite part. That's what it seems like to me. Like if there's some 細かいめんどくさい thing that's realistic that they can add, people love it. It like, because that's what games don't have. Like 今までの。
え、なんか今ってその自分のアバターをなんていうの。グルーミングしなきゃいけないみたいなのってあります？なんか例えば爪が伸びてきちゃうとか
聞いたことない
です、ね、髪溶かさないとボサボサになっちゃうみたいな
聞いたことないですね。
そっか。
Death Stranding
kind of realistic.
Death Stranding kind of had something like that. You would like take a shower and there was a mirror
too. Right. なんかそういうのが、
でも
まあめんどくさい。めんどくさいだけかな。なんかそういうのがあるとより愛着が湧いたりするのかなって思ったけど。自分のアバターに。
There are a couple experiences I've had in VR that are very trippy. One is looking at a mirror. They have like a mirror in VR. And you look at the mirror and you're not you. You're like, you know, this fly person or whatever your avatar is. And that feels really weird because you can like, you move and it moves and you're, it's a very strange feeling. And then in this one game, I was in VR and you put on a VR headset, like inside, like while you're in VR. And that goes into like a VR, in the VR. And then at the end of that game, you take that headset off. And then you take your real headset off. And that's kind of like, I don't know, interesting. That game, it's called Super Hot. It's like kind of edgy. There's a scene where you appear with a gun and it just says, you know what to do. And I'm like, So I shoot at the TV and nothing happens. And I'm like, okay, I guess they want me to shoot myself. So I shoot myself and then it like opens the stage. But inside the game, you have to commit suicide with a gun to open the next level.
That's intense.
It's like kind of dark, right?
Yeah. なんかナミさんにお伺いしたいんですけど、なんかそのVR とかじゃなくても、例えばこうハリウッドとか俳優さんで、頭で考えて演技するんじゃなくて、本当になりきって演技するタイプの人で、結構精神的に、まあ、辛くなっちゃったりとかする人もいるじゃないですか。で、亡くなっちゃう人もいたりとかして。なんかその、自分じゃない人になりきる時間が、まあ、時間的にもそうだし、まあ、労力的にもそうだし、そのなんか、スレッショルじゃないけど、なんか、どこまでやって人間って平均なのかみたいな、そういう研究ってあったりするんですかね、その、アバターに関連して。
ちょっと、わかんないですね。なんか、学術研究って結構、やっぱりそんな、長時間の経過を見る研究ってやっぱ難しくて、割と実験室で1時間とかやって、どうっていうのが多いので、研究で分かってることってやっぱりすごい限られてて、そういう、なんか実際すごい使ってみたらどうみたいなのは、むしろ研究とかよりも、なんか現場の事例とかの方がよくなんか分かってるんじゃないかなと思いますね。
そっか。それこそ今みたいにこうダークな感じのゲーム、なんか VR で何時間、毎日何十時間とかやった時にどうなっちゃうかみたいな。
なんかやってみたみたいなニュース見たことありますけどね。何百時間とか。
ああ。
でもどうだったかみたいな結論覚えてないんですけど。
なんかその耐久的な意味でなんか、何十時間連続みたいな見たことあるけど、そのなんか違う人に本当になりきって人とやりとりしてみたいな。それをこう、数ヶ月やったみたいなのはあんまり、まあ、やってる人はいるのかもしれないけど、それでどうなったかっていうのはあんまり見たことないから、どうなんだろう。
I saw an experiment where someone spent, I think, one full week in VR. Like, he had two VR headsets, so when his headset died, he would just switch to the other one. So he always had it on, and he used the pass-through feature to see...like his food if he needed to. So he seriously had it on his face the whole time. And I think he live streamed it, the whole thing. And he definitely started to change psychologically, like his demeanor and sort of, he became very introspective. You know, everything's about yourself.Sort of, if you're in VR. He was very introspective and he although he was interacting with people, so he was trying to be social. So he would join watch parties in VR chat, or they watch like sports events or rocket launch together, and other avatars are there with him. But he said he started to feel like he was alone in a giant spaceship. And it was just kind of this, his own world was just completely isolated from Earth. He actually felt like he wasn't on Earth after a while. And he had some like physical complications, like his eyes got really tired. And like started, he said his eyes were burning. He would be like, I just woke up. The burning in my eyes has reduced, so that's good. He was giving frequent reports on sort of how he was feeling.
But
doesn't seem like it's good for you. Like 1週間 連続, just stuck. VR spaceship.
Right.
なんかその物理的な面では確かに体に悪そうですけど、なんかそんなにソーシャルにアイソレイティッドな感じになるのはなんか意外というか、別に VR せずに1週間1人で家にいても、なんかインターネットだけであなたが使えるものはって言われても、私別にそんなに
I think he was saying is it was more lonely than like being in your actual like apartment, even if you're by yourself, because it's just like it's all virtual, I guess. But I don't know.
Maybe like if you see people right in front of you, but you know that you can't like physically touch them.
He did this before the whole pandemic too, so we're all like probably more more tolerant of that kind of isolation now. But
なんか目の前にいるけど本当はいないんだって思っ、いないか触れないしみたいな、だったら目の前にもともといない方が寂しくないとかなんですかね。
どっちなんでしょうね。
I think there was more FOMO back then. People don't get as much FOMO.
Maybe.
Post-pandemic, I feel like. Or mid-pandemic, I should say.
Or just the fact that you're kind of unreachable. Like, you're wearing the headset and you're the one that's unreachable to the people that you know, right? So maybe that will give you a sense of loneliness.
Yeah, if your friends aren't on there, then, ma, seems lonely.
Right?
But if all your friends are on there, like my brother doesn't seem that lonely, but he spends a huge amount of time in video games, and his friends are always on those games. And people just show up, and they're just immediately, they're talking, you know, it's like it's totally a social network in the game world. So,
その今ってじゃあ VR 使う、なんか私がやってた時ってやっぱ手だったんですけど、その自分から見える自分、今はそうじゃないってこと？その
手だけのことは多いですね。
手
だけとかコントローラーだけとかコントローラーって手とかは多くて、あんまり全身はすごいで簡単にできるようにはなってきてるんですけど、全身のトラッキングは、なんかそのゲームとかでデフォルトのアバターがはどうかっていうと、割と手だけのも多いと思います。
そっか。それって今後どうなっていくんですかね。なんか手、それがベスト？
なんか手だけでも別にいいこともあるし、なんかそうですね、でも確実にそのトラッキングはすごく 簡単に安くできるようにはなってきてるので、
うん、
全身簡単にトラッキングできるようになったら、まあ、せっかくだし全身反映させるかってなってくることも多いんじゃないですかね。
うん、
Have you seen any research about, like, how do I describe this? We can see our eye socket and our nose, and we can kind of see parts of our own face, like our eyes can, but our brain sort of deletes it.
Mm-hmm. And showing the nose decrease the motion sickness like that?
Yeah, like if they add, it sounds weird, but if they add a nose and these mm-hmm. things into VR the way we do now, I'm just wondering what kind of effect that might have. And
mm-hmm.
I guess our brain would delete it the same way.
Yeah, I guess so. I've heard of that, but I don't know the detail, but...
Hmm.
It makes sense.
It reduces motion yeah. sickness, adding a nose?
It's said that it reduces, but I'm not sure.
Hmm.
It's not a research, but just a game or like that,
hmm.
I think.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because like, その自分って、まあ今、マイケルが言ったみたいに顔だけじゃなくて、こんなの肩っていうか、なんか胸のとことか、まあ、あと腕全体が実は結構常に見えてるじゃないですか、ちょっと下向けは。なんかそれが追加されるとさらにもっとリアルっぽいのかなとか。でもなんか確かその鼻、そのいつも見えてはいるけど脳で消してる自分の鼻とかが VR でわざわざ追加されてたらどうなるんだ。それ勝手にやっぱそれも自分の鼻と認識して無視できるんですかね。でもなんか自分の普段の鼻よりも鼻がめっちゃ高いとかだったら無視できなそうですよね。めっちゃ気になりそう。
逆に違和感あると思いますけど、
ね、ですよね、う
ん、しかもなんか日本人とか多分そんなに見えてないんじゃないかなって
人種もそうだし、まあ、あと単純に自分が人間じゃないアバターになった時に、こう常に、例えば猫だったら多分毛がちょっと見えてると思うんですよね。顔の、髭とか。
うん。
それを VR で追加されちゃうと多分自分の脳はそこを無視できないから、
うん、
ずっと気になってるみたいな感じになっちゃう。でも、ある一定時間プレイしてるうちにだんだん慣れてきて無視できるようになりそうだしなとか。
うん、
面白い。
I think it seems possible. They may need to make it like kind of translucent at first. You know,
mm.
I'm not sure exactly, but I think, yeah, maybe people would need to be able to adjust the 鼻の高さとか, like you customize that mm. part of the HUD. I guess. It would be weird if you went to the movie theater and there was a nose in the middle of the screen. That wouldn't make sense, right?
But, right.
But it is part of, like, our natural experience.
Mm. It's so weird.
You know, one of the funnest things to do in VR... for me was to just change avatars. It's like really fun. Like you change the avatar and you like look down, you look at your body and you move around, you look at your reflection. It's like, wow. And you just change. I was going through like every single avatar in VR chat. Like 3/4 of them are, you know, pretty girl avatars. And I actually had an issue. So the selector for the avatars was on this panel in the middle of the room. And I'm changing between all these different avatars and they're different heights. So I'd get really big and I'd get small. And partway through, I changed to this avatar that was like a bug. He's like really small. And so all of a sudden I was really tiny and I couldn't reach the button anymore to change my avatar back. So I had to quit. I don't know what you're supposed to do, but
now you know what it's like to be short.
But the user interfaces are all in the virtual world is not, it's not designed for people that are different heights, you know? So if you choose a tiny avatar, all of a sudden you can't interact with the machine anymore. You can't include, like, I was like a bug. I was like 2 centimeters.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
height.
you can actually, like, experience what it's like to be short and tall and, you know, skinny and fat and that kind of stuff, right? I mean, at least to some extent.
Yeah.
So that might help with some social issues, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's called perspective taking. People can kind of imitate other persons' lives from a first person perspective. That helps to understand that people to some extent.
Do you think people will want to do that with real people, like real celebrities? Or like if I load myself into like Osama bin Laden or some
Osama bin Laden.
I don't know, but like some strange avatar, right? I don't know, because bin Laden was like kind of tall. I don't know, but you can sort of, there are some celebrities where their physique is like very well documented, like Tom Cruise. Like we all know, like you could scan Tom Cruise into VR and you could be just like Tom Cruise, right? You have the same height, same shoe size, same like arm length and hand size, and you know, that whole, like be Tom Cruise. I don't know if people want to do that. But
if your avatar was Tom Cruise, you would definitely jump off a cliff, right?
Why?
It feels totally doable. Like,
oh,
he's always
okay.
Jumping off a building.
I thought you meant that differently. I thought you'd want to kill yourself.
No. It just feels like I can do anything.
I thought that was an insult of Tom Cruise, but I guess it was the opposite.
Yeah.
でもその有名人になる場合も、なんか最初のステレオタイプの話と同じで、私の思うトム・クルーズにしかなれないじゃないですか。
そうですね。
それ以外の私の知らないトム・クルーズをイマジンできないから。
それは本当そうですね。いやだから自分がトム・クルーズだったら絶対やめてほしいもんね。
But maybe people could sell their own avatar. It's like, you know, if you want to see what it's like to be, I don't know, like George Clooney, and George Clooney can sell his avatar and there's like a copyright or whatever and people can pay, you know, like a subscription to be George Clooney in VR. I don't know. But it's, I don't really, I'm not in the market for that, but it seems like maybe maybe in the porn industry this would be more applicable, because like porn actresses have sold like their data, like genital scan data, so I don't know.
What do you think? 自分に近い感じにする、どういうのが多いんですかね。
あんまりわかんないんですけど、なりたいアバターか、もしくはまあ手に入るアバターのうちでなりたいかな。でもなんか割とその VR と他のゲーム、なんか動物の森とか、ああいうののアバ、 キャラクターの選び方がすごい違うのかはちょっとわからなくて、なんか普通の格闘ゲームでキャラ選ぶときと、なんか VR チャットとかのアバターの選び方で、なんか違うかもしれないし、別に同じようで選んでるかもしれないし。
そっかそっか。確かに格闘ゲームで何のキャラを選ぶかって、人によって全然違いますもんね。大体しかもみんな同じキャラを選択するじゃん、毎回。あれってなんで私はあれを選んでたんだろうって今考えるとちょっと不思議かもしれない。なんですかね。
なんですかね。
Oh, what sort of character do you usually choose in, I don't know, Tekken とか or?
Tekken は私あの、ニーナっていうなんか金髪の女の子がいて、毎回その子を選んでたんだけど、なんか毒霧を吐くみたいな、紫の。
She's not the closest one to, like, to you, right? There's closer characters.
No, race も違うし。
Because you could have used, like...
単純に可愛いからみたいな。
There are a lot of Japanese girl characters, but you chose the tall blonde character.
Yeah, I don't know if she was tall, but...
She was tall. She had super long slide kicks or something. Right?
単純に aesthetics で選んでたのかな、じゃあ。I don't know. It's weird.
I always chose that alien samurai guy, Kappa. I think he's Kappa. Yoshimitsu.
Oh, right. With a sword.
Yeah, the Kappa with the sword.
Oh.
I don't know why either.
Why?
He has a sword. The other guys don't have swords. I don't know.
あんまり考えて選んでない。あんまり別に考えて直感ってことなのかな。どういうことなの。
まあでも長く使うってなると、もしかしたらもうちょっとちゃんと考えるかもしれないし、でも別にそれぐらいなんか剣持ってるからぐらいの気持ちで選ぶかもしれないし、ちょっとわかんないですね。私もあんまりユーザーじゃないので、VR チャットとかの。
そっか。
Why don't you have more interest in VR as like a personal thing?
Yeah, there are several reasons for that, but the biggest reason is that I'm not a gamer in the first place. I tend to spend time checking Twitter, watching Netflix, or listening to podcasts, so I'm not that attracted to most of the things that I can do with the latest HMDs. Of course, games are not the only thing you can do with VR, and I'm sure that there's a lot of potential for applications other than games, but for me, at least at this point of time, there's not much attractive content that's worth time and effort. Or maybe they do exist, but I don't feel like bothering to look for such content. I'm satisfied with other, like, Twitter or something.
So you definitely don't do the like the screen in VR. You know, like some people have like they look at a screen inside VR. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And they, I saw.
Like some people watch Netflix on that screen.
Yeah, but why not? TV on real world.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess like the virtual one's bigger.
It's bulky and なんか めんどくさい.
Yeah.
面白い。それなんか仕事でもあるからっていう面もありますか？なんか仕事で VR のこと考えてるから普段あんま考えたくないみたいな、そういうことでもない？
まあ、それはあるかもしれなくて、考えてるからっていうよりはなんか仕事の時間につけてると もうちょっとそれだけで enough みたいなのもあって、ちょっと遠くをもうちょっと見たいなって
思ったり。確かに目のためにも目がめっちゃ疲れちゃうみたいな。
It seems like that balance is important, I think.
Yeah.
Because if you were doing VR personally and you're doing VR and work stuff, you'd just be just VR all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about illusions like sort of M.C. Escher type illusions in VR? Do you know M.C. Escher?
Yeah. In my laboratory, my colleagues developed something similar to that. That's called infinite kaidan, mugen kaidan. That's similar to Escher, I guess. Mm-hmm. So in the real world, there's only some bumps, and there's no staircase in the real world. It's kind of similar to the tricks of rotating the view. But in his work, the camera goes slightly go up while a user walks straight. Then the user feel like he's going upstairs or something. So by that trick, he can create kind of infinite stairs in the VR.
やってみたい。
And what does it look like in VR?
It's just like infinite stairs.
怖い。でもやりたい。なんか不思議な感じします?
不思議な感じしますね。でもやっぱりなんか作る側でトリックしてるとちょっと
なんか、あ、そっか。
っていうのはあるんですけど。
そっか。だから冷静に見ちゃうと、あれですもんね。なんか最初の頃にこう流行った、なんか、何この、ピーターパンみたいな、何台の上をこう歩いてってめっちゃ高いところみたいな。あれもなんか、あんまり考えてないから面白いんであって、こう、現実的に考えちゃうとそんなに面白くないですもんね。いや、ただ板の上歩いてるだけじゃん、みたいな。
知ってても騙されますけどね、割と。I sent you the link
of
Infinite Stairs. You can see what it looks like in VR.
これやってみたいな。Infinite Stairs. あ、本当に、あ、
本当に何もなくて。
バンプって言っても、
slide.
細い線みたいな、ちっちゃいボコってしたのがあるだけなんだ。
Could something like this be useful for exercise applications in VR? Or a lot of people are using it for fitness, so I'm sort of wondering.
Maybe, but that's too boring.For exercise.
これって実際登ってる感覚ってどれくらいあるんですか?
どれくらいっていうのはちょっと難しいんですけど、結構や、でも個人差はやっぱあるみたいで、本当に全然、その最初にその現実のシチュエーションを見せられずに、その現実何起こってるかを知らされずにやったりするとやっぱり、かなり、ね、本当にあると思ったっていう人が多かったりして、
どうせなら本当見ないでやりたいですよね。見る前にやりたい。そっか。無限階段。I need to go somewhere and try it.Well, maybe I can go to Michael's place and try it. the new ones.
They're pretty amazing. The
Sokka.
The Quest in particular, I think, is
pretty revolutionary. Yeah, it improved a lot.
Sokka. Yeah, I think もう本当に多分やったやつは大半はそれこそプロトタイプ的なやつだったから没入感とかではないみたいなのも結構あったし
そうなんか毎日試すのは毎日やるのはおすすめしないというか別に毎日やらなくてもいいと思うんですけど一回最近のやってみるとすごい感動すると思います
yeah.
やってみよう
What do you think of the whole、Facebook situation, you have to have a Facebook to use Oculus.
Yes, and I know that's controversial. I personally don't care, but yeah, I know some people care about it.And that's uh-huh. problematic. But for me, more like, なんかここまで騒がれるようになったことの感慨深さみたいな。なんかそれだけいろんな人の手に渡って本当にコンシューマーのものとして使われ始めてるんだなみたいな感じが。
I think people are wondering about the potential for.Sort of individualized or targeted experiences in VR. So right now it's not targeted or individualized at all, but Facebook has a very large profile of data on each individual person. So some people have said that, well, in the future, you're going to be in VR and it's going to be like this, like we're going to see what we want to see essentially.In VR, and I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing, but do you see any potential good or bad from like individual? How would you say this? Individualized or single serving?
Customized.
Yeah, customized VR.
I sometimes wondering what.The future as in VR would be like. it could be very intrusive. So if there's a customized, targeted advertisement in VR, that's a bad side, I guess.
Would that be like a product placement? So you're just like, you're playing your VR game or whatever, and then there's just like a product is just there on the counter of like the environment. It could just, it's, I don't know what it would, maybe some Muji product, or maybe the characters in VR will wear, you know, some brand.You know, like Gap or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So in VR, sometimes it's hard to distinguish the ads from the actual like, environment, actual VR. Like, ads are certainly in VR, but...
Like product placements in particular would be hard to tell, right?Like, what if a company like Converse just, you know, like any company can make a 3D model of their own product and start injecting it into VR world? It's like some kind of advanced stealth marketing or something.
Yeah.
But it'd be the same thing as like movies now, I guess, right? So a lot of the props in movies, they don't explicitly tell you, but they're like paid to be in the movie.
I just remembered, I think on our show we talked about this VR thing that someone made in some country, customized for this person, this woman who lost her daughter some years ago, and they recreated this dead girl. Mm. And this mom tried this VR and got to see her daughter, and the daughter would say things, you know, like, I missed you or something. That could potentially have like a huge psychological impact on you. And I was kind of wondering, なんかその regulation じゃないけど、なんかそれって結構なんだろう、すごい心理的に衝撃だったりとか、まあ、感情が揺さぶられるみたいな、可能性があって、なんか、それ、まあ、悪用、まあ、すごいいいふうに使おうと思えば多分、セラピーとかにも使えると思うし、悪用しようと思えば、それもできると思うんですけど、なんかそういう意味で、どうなるんですかね、どうなっていくんですかね、というか。
なんか少なくとも、自分のアバターの権利というか、なんか死後使われたくない、うん、権利とかは認められてほしいですよね、うん、勝手に使わないでください。まあ、死後じゃなくても、うん、なんか他人に逆にその売る人もいれば逆にもう使わないでくださいっていう権利もあってほしいですよね、
うんうん、特に喋る場合、まあ、なんかそれってホログラムとか、まあ、マイケル・ジャクソンが亡くなった後にライブするみたいなとかもそう
だけど、トゥーパークとか、
いや、なんか本人が歌っ、美空ひばりとか確かこう、彼女が実際歌ったことない歌を、今歌わせるみたいな。で、もしかして本人が生きてたら断ったかもしれないプロジェクトかもしれないとか。なんかそういうの見ると結構、ああ、どうなるのかなって思うけど。今、だからそういうルールが特にないってことですよね、きっと。
どうなんでしょうね、アバターについては。なんか、うん、作った人には権利はあると思うんですけど、それのモデルが、うん、私の写真を元にしたモデルだったらどうなのかとか、どれくらい似てたらなんかダメなのかとか、ちょっとよくわかんないですよね。その、
うん、
私の画像を元にギャンで作ったなんか本当には存在しない私らしい顔のものとか、まあ、それもはや VR でもないですけど、なんかどういう扱いになるんだろうっていうのはあんま詳しくないですけど、気になりますよね。
It's like the deep fake problem in VR.
Yeah, 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 yeah. そうだよね。Yeah, it's weird.
So, yeah, like who would have the rights? Yeah, dead, like people that have been dead for a long time, like the, you mentioned the Einstein avatar, like, who has rights to Einstein's avatars? Mm. Einstein, he's sort of, I don't know, public enough that there's so many different Einstein models that have been made. And yeah, how should that, like, I guess people that are already dead, it's kind of too late. But for living people, maybe we should claim some rights over our avatars, yeah. And like the recreation of the woman and her daughter that had passed away. I mean, you wouldn't want anyone to have access to the daughter's avatar, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But how?
I mean, you can essentially make her say anything, right? So that's kind of scary when you think about it. So.
With the Adobe voice emulator thing?
Yeah.
Because they can steal your voice now, right?
Yeah.
Perfectly, almost. So
like, obviously in this documentary or whatever, in this project, they made the daughter say, like, nice things. You know, like, I love you, I missed you, that kind of stuff. But you could, you know, make her say really terrible stuff too, like, I'm dead because of you or something like that, right? And it'll seriously give emotional trauma to someone.
Yeah. So. 2人とかはこう、すごい2人の 発言のデータベースがすごいあるじゃないですか。
めっちゃある。
そこから学習して、二人が言いそうなこととかも言わせられたりしますよね。
ねえ、本当に。だから自動生成ポッドキャストみたいな。もう寝てる間に収録終わっちゃうみたいな。
What do you think about the popularity of these VTubers and avatar use outside of virtual reality, but just like on YouTube とか?
I personally, I'm not interested in VTuber. So actually, I haven't seen almost any of that.
Really?
Yeah.
今流行ってるよ。VTubers.
Do you watch VTubers?
I've watched some. Recently, PewDiePie, who's one of the top YouTubers, he decided he wasn't going to show his face anymore. I don't know if it's serious. I think he's joking. But he replaced himself with a VTuber. Mm-hmm. And... It's interesting. It moves with your face. It talks when you talk. It's... I don't know. I don't prefer it or anything, but... It seems... Maybe it's useful for people that, you know, don't want to be so public.
Yeah, definitely. And the interesting thing is that... Multiple people can generate one identity of one single VTuber, like Kizuna Ai. I'm not quite familiar with that, but yeah.
Right. So. I'm curious as to like if so many people started making avatars, how much diversity there will be in that? Like is everyone gonna look nice and like なんだろう、そのモデルみたいなこう一般的に言われる綺麗みたいな感じになるのか、だからみんなが同じ感じの見た目になるのか、どうなんですかね、その辺。
それは私もすごい気になってて、もう自由に作れるってなるとやっぱあんまりダイバーシティがなくなっちゃうんじゃないかなっていう考えと、まあ、とはいえ現実のダイバーシティよりははるかに選択肢があるから、なんか広がってくかもしれないし、でもやっぱりなんかそのステレオタイプの問題となんか似てますけど、なんかみんながこう可愛いと思うアバターを使ったりしてと、なんかまあ画一的な表現になってくのかなとか思ったり、でも別に今アニメーションとかで存在してる幅と同じような感じにはなってくんじゃないですかね。
ね、なんかアバター自由に作っていいよっていう中でわざわざこう牛ガエルを選ぶみたいな感じなんだ。まあそういう人ももちろんいるんだろうけど。なんか全体で見たときにどうなるのかすごい気になる。
I want to see a ranking, you know, like global avatar ranking.
なんか今で言うと、その簡単にアバターを作れるツールっていうのがあって、で、それで作れる表現にみんながそのツール使ってるから、そのツールのなんかで作ったアバターがすごいいっぱいいたりして。
あ、なるほど。あ、そっかそっか。
Have you made one?
No.
No?
え、自分のアバター作ったことないんですか？
作ってない。で、あの、なんか、スキャンしてもらったことはあるんですけど、使ってない。
そうなんだ。It's scanned though, so you could have it made, right?
Yeah.
それはだから自分の見た目ってことですよね。自分の。
そうです。そうです。そうです。
そっか。
けどなんか iPad で簡単にスキャンできるやつで、それはなんでちょっと質が悪いというか、そんなにクオリティは高くなくて、なんか あんまり、なんかそんな使う場面も個人的にはなくて、使ってない。
なんか最近韓国ドラマ見てたら、それこそプロダクトプレイスメントで、なんか自分の顔写メ撮ったら、すぐそれがこう絵文字み、うん、なんか動く絵文字みたいになるみたいな。でそれ見たときに、なんか自分の顔をわざわざ、その、相手に絵文字として送る。まあ若い子とか、あの女子高生とかだったらやるのかもしれないけど、なんか自分はあんまり想像できなくて。
なんか Facebook で、その写真からじゃないんですけど、スタンプ、なんか自分の顔っぽいスタンプ作れるみたいなのがあって、
うん。
なんか、それ作ってみたら意外と便利で、なんか普通のスタンプ使うよりちょっと凝ってますよみたいな、うん、なんかスタンプだけで返事したいときに、
あ、
なんかちょっと気持ちを追加できるみたいな。
ちょっとやる気出したみたいな。
なんか OK とか言うだけでも自分の顔でやってるとちょっとやる気ある返事に見えるかなと思って、ちょっと使ってました。
They have it in iMessage too.Apple has created that also. And I think it kind of got popular with the Nintendo Mi.
You know,
everyone
right.
was making their face. And the Nintendo Mi had the ability to make like pretty komakai face. You know?
I'm curious about this psychological dilemma where you probably want an avatar that looks nice to you. But then if there's like a huge gap between what you actually look like and what avatar looks like, maybe that causes a little bit of stress too. So, なんかそのバランスっていうか難しそう。
なんかそれ、もともとメイクですごい感じてて、感じません。
確かに。確かに。
メイクで盛れれば盛れるほど、なんかすっぴんの時にすごい、あれみたいな。すっぴんの自己肯定感がすごい低くなるみたいなジレンマが本当割とある気がしてて、それと似たジレンマなのかなって。
確かに、なんか多分フィルターとかもそうですよね。なんかフィルター使って常に持ってると現実との差が、まあ、自分自身は認識してるわけだから、ある程度なんか
They'll probably have that filter for VR avatars too. You know, it makes your eyes bigger and changes your facial structure.
For your avatar?
Yeah, well, they have it for like social media, like Instagram and stuff. People make their face smaller and their eyes bigger and stuff. So,
right, but avatar にもフィルターかける。
Maybe.
You don't want an uglier version of yourself as an avatar. I've never, like, who wants that?
Right.
Right?
I don't know.
No, 絶対 it looks better than you, at least a little bit.Just
time, yeah,
but it can't look worse than you. Is you just don't want personally. Well, I think most people don't want like a
like
ugly version of themselves.
自分とかけ離れてるその度合いっていうか、あまりにも美化されてると、それはそれでなんかストレスになることもありそうだし、みたいな。そう考えれば違う動物とかにしちゃった方が。それを考える必要はなさそう
かもしんないですね。
うん、思い切って猫とかにしちゃえば。
でもそれはそれで現実では猫じゃないなみたいな。
それでもストレスにはなんだそう。
すごい VR でみんなに可愛い、あ、猫ちゃん猫ちゃんみたいな感じに可愛い、現実は誰も愛してくれないみたいな。
まあまあそっか、そのアバターの自分のに人気っていうか、人からのパーセプションと現実の自分のパーセプションの差の度合いとかも確かに、なんかストレ、なんか嬉しい反面ストレスになるみたいなのがありそうですよね。
Do you think it could make sense to have sort of physical representations of psychological space in virtual reality? Andone example of this concept is in the movie Dreamcatcher. I don't know if you've seen Dreamcatcher. It's a horrible movie. But one scene in the movie is this guy is inside his own mind. And the inside of his mind looks like a library. And it's all like disorganized and there's like all this stuff everywhere. And there's a guy inside the library, like an assistant with like a cart, who's like helping him organize his mind. And there are a lot of tricks for people to manage their memory or to memorize things by attaching concepts to like a physical object. So if you have like a room that represents the inside of your own mind in virtual reality, maybe you could sort of document your own life better, or you could have sort of organize your values or your memories in some way. Does this make any sense?
Makes sense, but I personally won't use it. I'm not sure.
Hmm. You wouldn't want to use it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And in psychology, aren't there like in some meditative practices, or if someone's trying to deal with something traumatic or stressful, they might create sort of a visual representation of certain memories or certain incidents?
I'm not quite familiar with that kind of clinical psychology.
Mm. Okay.
That makes sense, I guess.
Maybe it does. I'm not sure either.
I don't have enough knowledge to discuss it.
Yeah.
Is there anything that なんか 宣伝 することとか なんか 募集してることとか なんか ありますか?
宣伝 というほどではないんですけど、 とことん優しい VR の本っていう本が 2年前に 所属してる東大 VR センターから出てて、 私もほんのちょっとだけそれ書いてるの、書いてて、 すごいわかりやすい VR の入門書だと思うので、 ぜひ VR に興味を持った方は読んでみてください。
読んでください。
Awesome.
リンクをこのエピソードリリースするときに、そしたらリンクを貼っときます。
お願いします。
VR 気になってる人はすごいいっぱいいると思うので。
Thank you so much for coming and explaining so much about VR and our perceptions and
Thank you for having me.
It's a very confusing topic. I think it's more confusing than it seems initially. Because, you know, ego and our body, our sense of self and consciousness, it's very esoteric and sort of abstract. But then the VR itself is like strangely simple. And I think... you know, there's going to be so much to come in this field. I don't know if you saw in the news, but just within the last couple of days, they started opening up Oculus to run sort of apps that are in development, so they don't need to be approved for the store first.
Yeah,
that should be really interesting.
There's going to be more and more indie games.
More experiments on people.
Yeah.
Do you have any interesting experiments or plans coming up for messing with VR?
We are doing some exciting experiments, but I cannot talk about it here.
Confidential.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can tell us.
Next time.
お願いします。ぜひ。お願いします。ぜひ。 ありがとうございました。また。ありがとうございます。Thank
you.
お話聞かせてください。はい。ありがとうございます。
Bye.
Bye.